welcome to How to Be Successful with me, Vicky Paul. I'm an intuitive, artist, energy healer, and author, and I'm on a mission to help you live with more joy, purpose, and meaning. How to Be Successful is a straight-talking, heartfelt, and enlightening podcast full of soul-centered wisdom, home truths, life-changing insights, and free-flowing conversations with some of the most inspiring, knowledgeable and honest voices in well-being, spirituality, self-love and personal development. It's a show for people who are no longer satisfied chasing society's version of success because they're ready to embrace their gifts and thrive on their own terms. Hi there, I hope you're all really well. There was a bit of a miss in last week's episode because I was getting ready for my very first artist open house and I was just so busy and kind of overwhelmed with everything that I needed to do. I just didn't have time to record an episode. So apologies for that. So this is going to be a solo show because it was a really interesting week for me, and thank you to everyone who engaged with the open house on social media for all your lovely messages of support and also for all of the people that turned up on the day. It was just lovely to, particularly the local community. We've only been in bed for a couple of years and it was lovely to realise what an impact we'd made on the local community given the support that was shown for the open house. So thank you. However, it was a huge amount of work and it's something that I have always really admired. If anybody doesn't know about the artist open house movement, I think it was started in Brighton years and years and years ago by an artist who couldn't find anywhere to exhibit his work and decided to open his living room to the public to come in and have a look at his work. And this is now gathered momentum over the years and lots of different cities and villages and towns, certainly around the UK, do this. And I know there's a big one in Cambridge, down in Brighton, over in Kent. And where we are at the moment in Bedford, there isn't an open house. So I just thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a bash. What is the worst that can happen? I'm going to learn how to set up this kind of event. I'm going to learn to curate all my own work because normally when I exhibit, somebody else does all the curation. Although my background is in events and PR, which makes it easier for me to do this kind of thing, I have to say the hardest thing about all of it was deciding to talk about the fact in my publicity material what an address was and whether we should give our full address out or not. Because whilst I'm kind of out there and open, I'm actually quite private. And yeah, I don't know, it must be an age thing, but I wasn't keen to put my address out there. However, as somebody rightly reminded me, I wasn't Beyonce, so does it really matter? And I went on to various Facebook groups and forums and asked what people had been doing. And there was a real split 50-50 down the middle as to whether you put your full address onto the details or you ask people to register. Anyway, I decided to just go for it and trust the universe that everything was going to be all right. But it was really interesting because although everything flowed fairly well, I will say it took a lot longer to pull together than I initially anticipated, which seems to be the way of organizing events. But the one thing that caused huge problems for me was the catalogue. And somebody had suggested that instead of pulling together a PDF document or using Canva, why didn't I try the website Issu? That's ISSUU. Now, I didn't know that this website you could download and create your own catalogues. I thought it was just for magazines so that you could read them digitally. However, you can. Anyway, I set up an account. You can get a free of charge account and pull together the document. You download a template as a PowerPoint presentation and pull it all together. And I mean, if anybody knows me, and I've spoken about this before in the podcast, me and technology just do not go on. And I think it's an energetic thing because I've spoken to other people who work with energy and all its different guises, and they too have issues, in inverted commas, with technology. And it's always really good fun, in inverted commas, I may add, when I'm interviewing somebody for the podcast, because if they are really heavily into their spirituality and they are an intuitive or a psychic, a medium, that kind of intense energy worker, oftentimes we have glitches and there's issues in the recording of the podcast, etc., etc. So I always set a wee intention before I record the podcast that it's going to go well and the wee tech monkeys are going to behave. However, I completely forgot to do it for pulling together this PDF document, a PowerPoint document for the catalogue. And I wanted to create a catalogue because the open house was very local to anyone in Bedford. And I didn't want to put anyone off because I have clients all over the world and wanted to give people the opportunity to see my work, engage with what I was doing, and decided that I'm going to pull together a sort of video tour, a sort of virtual video version of the open house and a catalogue to go with it. So this is why I wanted to do this catalogue. And it ended up being about 33 pages with all the different images of the artwork featured along with text and price links, etc., so that people could open the catalogue. If there was anything they liked, they could click on the price and it would take them through to the website where they could either find out more or purchase. So in theory, it sounds like a really great idea. And I'm the type of person that I like to do everything to the nth degree. I'm a bit of a perfectionist, unfortunately. However, as I was pulling things together, and it was all going swimmingly well, it was a nice, easy format to follow, and you could reshape the images and move them about, change the text font. So it was all fairly simple. However, for some obscure reason, after I was sort of three quarters of the way through the document, and I kept saving it, just kind of control S, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes, just in case, based on previous experience, and everything was going fine. And then all of a sudden, as I was scrolling back into the document earlier, just to check where I'd placed a particular piece of text, because I duplicated the slide further down in the document, all of the images I'd uploaded had disappeared. And it just said that it couldn't register or recognize the images. So I thought, oh my God, right, what am I going to do? So I knew that I'd saved it. So I tried closing the document and it wouldn't allow me to close the document. So then I thought, right, I'm going to see if I can save it as a PDF, because if I'm going to lose all of this information, because I can't save it as a PowerPoint, I'll save it as a PDF and then I can, you know, have the two screens up. And it's not, you know, because I've written stuff sort of intuitively about the work and what I wanted to say as an introduction. However, it wouldn't let me save it as a PDF. So this had gone on for about 4 hours, and this was late at night. It was about 11:30, and I thought, my God, right, I'd given myself 2 days to do this, which in my mind thought was more than enough time to pull together the document. However, that was not the case. So I ended up redoing the document again. And then at 1:30 on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, this, I may add, was getting issued on in an email on Friday morning, which you may have got if you are a follower. And what then happened was the original images that disappeared were there, but all the new images that I'd put in hadn't been recognized. So at 1:30, I lost the will to live, closed it down and thought, right, I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to start all over again. So got to bed, woke up 6 hours later, got up, had a coffee and thought, right, I'm going to crack on with this document. Opened the document and decided there might be a glitch in this particular document. So I went back onto Issue, re-downloaded the template and started to input all the information. And I got all the way through till the end. There were some new works on paper that I didn't have in the catalogue, because there were maybe another 20 smaller images. And I thought, I'm not going to tempt fate. I'm just going to leave it as is. That's all the main original artworks on canvas, all my framed works, my prints, etc. And I thought, right, let's not jinx fate. And I'll just save it and leave it as that. So left, got on with some other things and thought, right, it's after dinner. I'll come back, upload the document, write my newsletter, pulled together the video, which was dead simple, on iMovies on my phone. It was just, you know, merging in 3 or 4 separate videos, uploading it onto YouTube. It'll take me 2 or 3 hours. I'll be fine. I'll be in bed by 11. Let me tell you, the video worked fine. The newsletter came together beautifully. The uploading of the video onto YouTube, amazing. However, when I decided, right, let's upload the document onto Issue, it turned out that it was like 0.04 of a megabyte over the 100 megabyte limit. So I had to buy a subscription, which is fair enough. Uploaded the document And when I checked the document, it had moved all the formatting. So all the pictures and all the images had all crossed over one another. So without labouring the point, I had to re-upload this document 12 times. I had to upload it, split my screen in half so that I could see the uploaded document on issue, go back to the PowerPoint presentation and move each 33 pages, I may add, of individual text and move it about the page, re-upload it and check it again. This happened 12 times. 12 times, people. 2 o'clock in the morning, I finally finished and get everything set up and ready for the email that was getting sent out at 7:30 in the morning. And there is a purpose to this, apart from the fact that I'm having a moan and maybe you two also struggle with technology, is that I often ask myself, what the hell is the lesson in all of this? What is this all about? Because I'm following the plan, I'm reading the instructions, you know, what is going on with things not working out as I would like them to, or that I've given myself the right time to. And I wanted to talk about this because I had this conversation with somebody actually at the open house. And when you maybe start on your spiritual path and you start to question, because the more you become self-aware and the more you find yourself on that spiritual path of exploration, whatever that means to you, there's no right or wrong way or traditional way of doing it. You do start to question more. You just don't take things A, for granted, or B, as read. You start to question why things happen, why you think a certain way, why certain people, places, experiences make you feel a certain way, because it's all about understanding who you are as a human being, as a spiritual being, so that you can not only understand yourself better, but decide whether who you have become and the sum of who you are at this point in time is best serving you, and what maybe you need to let go of, what you need to explore, what you need to move through, what you need to heal, etc. So you can get into the habit of assuming that when things go wrong, there's some kind of bigger, higher meaning to it. And what I have realized over time, and you know, I'm still on my journey, I'm still learning, I have certainly not got everything fixed and have got myself fixed and, you know, feel completely settled in who I am. It's a constant evolving, flowing process, you know. And I had to remind myself, and it was actually having this conversation with one of the people that came to the house, that not everything has a deeper, higher meaning to it. Sometimes shit happens just for the sake of shit happening, because life is full of ups and downs. You know, that is part and parcel for the reason that we came here, to experience and explore. Yes, things can happen to you and they are a sign or some form of indication that you're on the wrong path. But in actual fact, sometimes things just happen because things happen. And when you realize that, it helps you kind of let go of the irritation of it, because oftentimes when things aren't going your way or you're up against it, for example, like I was, and things just weren't flowing, or you've put your heart and soul into something and it didn't quite work out the way you wanted to, you can beat yourself up or question what you didn't do that you should have done or how you could have done it differently. And oftentimes that's got absolutely nothing to do with it. You did the best you could at the time with what you had, and you've learned something from it. And even if that is that taking that leap of faith and trying something different, you know, isn't as scary as you initially thought it was. It maybe didn't work out the way you wanted it to, but it isn't as scary as you initially thought it was, is all the lesson that's in it and all that you're meant to get out of it. But what I wanted to do with this was just to touch on the fact that if things aren't going your way, and I say that loosely, if you find that you're, you know, rolling along with life and things just don't seem to be working out, and you're starting to question what is wrong, you know, am I on the right path? You know, is this the right relationship? You know, is this the right job for me? Should I be changing where I'm living, etc., etc.? All the big and small questions that we face on a regular basis, then there are sort of more obvious signs and things I can help you with to, first of all, help you recognize whether you really are on the wrong path and it is the universe trying to communicate with you. Because I don't know if you know of a Brazilian writer called Paulo Coelho. I'm a massive fan, have read all of his books. And he talks about the fact that there is a language of the universe, and the universe talks to you all the time and wants you to understand its language. And the first step to doing that is to rely on and trust your intuition. And that's a huge part of what I do and what my work is all about, is helping people to reconnect with their intuition and to recognize what that feels like for them, because we're all different and it all feels different for everybody. And it makes up such a huge part of all the big decisions that we make in life. A lot of the big decisions we make in life have got nothing to do with our heads. It's all about our heart. It's all about our gut. So when we tap into our intuition, we can then listen to those signs from the universe. And the stronger the connection you have with your intuition, the stronger connection you have to understanding whether the things that are going wrong, in inverted commas, in your life are actually signs that you're on a path that needs to alter or change. Because I have to think and believe and feel that we're never really on the wrong path. We're on a path until we're ready to change that path or change course or move in a different direction. And often that path, you know, it could be a short path, it could be a path that you're on for years, it could be a painful path, but you're only ready to change course when you're ready to change course and you've recognized the lessons and moved through and let go whatever it is that's been holding you back. So first of all, it's to check in with your intuition. Does it feel like you're on the right path? Do things feel right or do they feel wrong? And there's lots of different ways that you can tap into your intuition. Google it. It's probably the quickest and easiest way. Or if you've got my book, there's lots of different techniques in the book, how to be successful for working with your intuition. The other thing that you can do is, if you're feeling that things aren't working out, speak to somebody who you trust. And that can either be a member of your family or a friend. They need to be impartial and you need to have the relationship with them that they can be fully honest with you. And you're not going to take offense and it's not going to cause issue in the relationship. And that's why sometimes when we're talking about, you know, deep-seated challenges, whether that's relationship or something that we are wrapped up in, that we could potentially take offense in because we are also responsible for part of the challenges. That's why sometimes it's easier to speak to somebody independent, a good therapist or a good counselor or an energy healer. Often Reiki healers can interpret what's happening with you as well and actually help physically shift that energy. So it would be worthwhile having a chat with them. The other thing that you can do is just get off the hamster wheel. Even if it's for a night or for the weekend or for a week, stop that monkey mind going over and over and over again, criticizing, this isn't right. Why am I not getting to the bottom of the answer? Why do things keep going wrong for me? Just take a break and step away from it and come at it with a fresh perspective. And it may well be that that gives you the answers that you're looking for because you have stilled your mind. You have quietened all the chatter and the search for the answers. Easier said than done, I know. And sometimes I really struggle with taking that break, not just physically, but mentally. And exercise for me is an amazing way to not only find the answer to questions that have been eluding me, but also to get that kind of download of intuitive wisdom. And it's exercises that you can switch off at. So, you know, sitting on a treadmill or running on a treadmill or sitting on a bike or on the cross stepper where you don't have to think, you can just go into that autopilot. The other thing that you can do is write down all your thoughts and everything that's coming up about this blockage to get it out of your system, and that can help you step away from it. The other thing that you can do is pay attention to your dreams. Now, I'm not necessarily an expert on dreams by any stretch of the imagination, but I do know that when I have put a clear quartz crystal in my pillow and you just put it into your pillow slip on the underside of the pillow, obviously, so that it doesn't, you're not lying on it, And then set the intention before you go to bed to just ask the universe, ask yourself, ask your higher self, however you connect. It could be with angels, or just ask out loud to help find the answers to the questions, you know. And if all you can ask is, am I on the wrong path? Help me understand through my dreams to understand if I'm on the wrong path. And oftentimes, it might not happen the first night, but you get some kind of indication as to whether you're on the right or wrong path. And the more you do this and the more you trust what comes through, then the more, I don't want to say complex the questions can be, but the more specific the questions can be. But always start loose, as in a simple yes or no. Another really lovely way to help you understand if it's time to change course is to have that, you know, if I waved, if that's a word, you know, if your fairy godmother came in and waved a magic wand and you could, you know, wish for whatever it was, whether it was any career, a particular type of relationship where there was no boundaries, it was full on fantasy land, like proper daydreaming, where there was no limitations through age, circumstance, finance, location, etc., etc. It's, you know, what would be possible if anything was possible? So that daydreaming about an unknown future, whether that's your challenges are around changing a path about a relationship or a job, and actually seeing where your imagination takes you, because our imagination is very strongly linked to our intuition. And we don't use our imagination a lot as adults. We tend to be much more logical in our functioning from a mind perspective. But kids are really imaginative and are really tapped into that. So try doing something that allows you to engage your imagination. And if you've got children, go and play with them. You know, take off the smartphones and the computers and that kind of thing, and actually just go into the garden and play, or get their toys out and create wee stories and different worlds, and join your kids in creating characters for their toys, or whether that's painting, and just allow your imagination to get fired up. That's a really lovely way to reconnect with what is possible, what your dreams are, because in our dreams, that really is a strong guide as to what your gifts are and what you're here to do and how you're here to share them. Another really great way about recognizing whether you're on the right path or not, and I spoke about this with Kim Scheller in my last podcast, is passion. A lot of us, particularly as adults, when you've got so many different things to juggle in life, you lose your sense of passion. And that can also be affected when you start to hit perimenopause or menopause or manopause. You know, when our hormones start to change and dwindle, and, you know, we're not as fit, we're not as healthy, we need, you know, longer sleep, etc. There's so many different physiological changes that happen in our body as we age that can also affect that. But oftentimes, because we try to just keep going, because life is so full and you've got to juggle so many things, you don't have time to actually stop and think, how am I feeling about all this? Because oftentimes you would be overwhelmed, and the minute you get overwhelmed, you can't actually get through your to-do list. So we just switch our feelings off. So have a check-in about how you're actually feeling and whether you're feeling passionate about the relationship that you're questioning, or the job, or the career, or where you're living. And that's a really quick way. It's like a ripping the plaster off way. So be warned. If you're going to do this, make sure you let your family know that you need a wee half hour, an hour to yourself, draw a bath or go out and do some exercise, listen to some really nice music, get your journal out and just, you know, explore. Are you feeling passionate? Do you have passion in your life? And this can be either from a hobby point of view, but also could be from a romance point of view. You know, if the sort of passion has dwindled in your relationship, it may well have absolutely nothing to do with how you feel about your partner and whether you fancy them or not. It could be that life has just been overwhelming for so long that you've just shut feelings down or squished them you know, into a tiny wee ball so that it's easier just to cope with life. So maybe that's another podcast, but anyway, for a later date. And another way of recognizing if you are not on the right path is if you're exhausted all the time. And I don't mean if you've had a particularly hard day and a late night and you're up early. I just mean generally over the period of time, have you got low energy? Because often your energy levels are very relative to how much joy you've got in life and how much purpose you have in life. When you are flowing in purpose, you have unlimited energy because that's you in flow, in full flow of your life with the universe's support. So are you knackered all the time? Are you exhausted all the time? Do you feel overworked? Do you find it harder to get out of bed in the morning? Are you falling asleep on the sofa at night? And I mean over a prolonged period of time. I don't mean as a sort of ad hoc period because you've had a particular busy day. And another, and I think we're going to sum up in this because I could keep listing, but there's quite a lot to take in. Another thing is that one of the key things that we all search for in life and is wrapped up in what we do for a living, where we live, who we meet and fall in love with, how we choose to live our life, to the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the music we listen to, the hobbies we have. It's all about bringing joy, bringing us joy and for us feeling joy. And if you don't have joy every single day in your life, then things need to change. And this is another one where you need to be gentle but honest with yourself. And even maybe even remind yourself, what is joy? What is joy supposed to feel like? But if you don't have joy for whatever it is that's causing you to question it, then rather than just follow that path blindly, take a step back and start to pick it apart and ask yourself, does this bring me joy? And as an example, you can find joy just from getting up in the morning and going out and watching the sunrise. You can find joy in watching a kid walk past you in the park giggling. You can find joy in a dog running around chasing its tail. It doesn't need to be big ticket items that bring you joy. And I mention that, I'm assuming you know this, but sometimes we all need reminding, is that it's a really great way to check in and reconnect with what joy feels like so that you've got something to benchmark against your relationship, your job, your career, where you're living, et cetera, the thing that you're questioning about whether you're on the right path. But the reality is, no matter what path you're on and whether it's the right path or not, there's always going to be bumps on the road. And sometimes that's just life. There's no bigger meaning in it. It's just how things are. And often things will come retrospectively. And when I think back about why all that technical stuff happened, one might argue that I manifested it because I always say that tech and I have a love-hate relationship. And even if it was a subconscious belief that that was happening, I can hold my hand up. I'll accept that that's a possible reason for it. It could also be that it was a distraction for me because I was really excited about the open house. But there's always the worry when you run an event that people aren't going to turn up or they're not going to enjoy it as much as you hope they do, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe all of the worry that I had about whether the open house was going to go well, given the fact it's the first time I've done it, I'm fairly new to the area. It's not something that the town does. And all the technical stuff was a distraction from me worrying about that because I got up in the morning and I was so overwhelmed and tired and couldn't believe that I'd been up, you know, twice till 1:30, 2 in the morning trying to get this catalogue, which I may add looks amazing. And I might just put the link into this to let you have a look at it if you want to see it. Oh, excuse me, that's my phone. I should have turned it off. But it could have just been a distraction so that I didn't worry about who was going to turn up and when they were going to turn up. As it happened, it went really well and I was delighted with the sales and who came, and I had some really lovely conversations with people just about the art and much deeper conversations about spirituality and energy. So it was wonderful. So yeah, that's my little outpouring for this episode, that sometimes there's a spiritual meaning and a higher meaning for things that happen in your life, but often it's not. And it's about tapping into your intuition to really discern whether the universe is trying to talk to you and guide you in a different direction, or whether it's just sometimes shit happens in life. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear if you also are a fan of Paulo Coelho, and if you've got any book recommendations. I'm looking for something. I've finished my last book and I'm looking for a new book recommendation. So it's always lovely to hear what other people are reading. And as ever, thank you very much for listening, and I will see you the next time. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and if you'd like to connect with me, then head over to my website, vickypaul.com, or you can find me on Instagram at @vickyjpaul. Why not take advantage of a special subscriber-only 10% discount off my personalised soul portraits? All you need to do is get in touch using the promo code PODCAST21, that's PODCAST21. And don't forget, you can buy my book, How to Be Successful, available anywhere that you buy books, or you can also get it via the link in the show notes. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss the next episode, and please continue to share this podcast with anyone you think might find it useful. I'd also really love if you could write a review, because that helps myself and my guests get discovered by more kindred spirits. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.